is we start Supercross Talk by me reading the thing I was supposed to read the last segment. Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Shidano, I hear you were at the game, calling the game yesterday for ESPN, right?
I did. Me and Kirk Morrison. And it was, I feel like we were the loudest people in there. It was like a library in there.
It was, well, there was not much to cheer about, Sedano.
How about Sam Lagana? Did Sam not do a good job of pumping up the crowd?
All the, you know, like stuff that surrounded the pomp and circumstance, Sam Lagana's, all the music they blare in, the DJ or whatever, like all that stuff was loud. But the fans, I mean, come on, just get up and get going. Like, you know, I understand the team stinks, but get behind them a little
bit.
Well,
I'm a stand up and cheer on every third down guy. And the people behind me, I'm like, man, woo! I'm doing whatever I can to make some noise.
And they're like, sit down.
And they're like, calm, right. Calm
would
down,
mind, sir?
It's just another bubble screen.
It's the wolf.
Yeah, I was super disappointed in that game because the first drive for the Rams.
They look great.
Yeah, well, it was on the script, and then they got off the script, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, Wofford was ad-libbing, and it was not good at all. It's hard. We were talking about this. I mean, the Lakers won last night, which is great. They're 3-10. Ooh, sounds awful.
Which was great.
I was going to say, is it though? I mean, I guess.
They're 3-10. They've improved to 3-10.
But how do you watch games when the teams aren't good? Like, where does that sit in your head? Like, I'm going to be back there, I think, to see the Rams in Seattle on December the 4th. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be in it. I have no illusions that we're going to beat Kansas City at Kansas City or any of that stuff that's coming up. So how do you be a fan?
I mean, that's actually being part of a fan, is rooting when your team stinks and even knowing that the chances are that they're going to lose every time. That's what being a real fan is. That's why everyone always gives credit to like the Cubs fans. They call them lovable losers,
yeah.
Right? Like they were there every day, no matter what, knowing that their team was probably going to lose 2 out of every 3 times.
But here's the thing. We're used to winning.
I get you're used to winning, but that's not always normal. And by the way, the Rams have done a lot of winning under Sean McVay. I get that. But with the Lakers, if you look at it, what is it, 7 of the last 9 years? They haven't even made the playoffs. So, I mean, I get that historically the Lakers are the crown jewel of the NBA, and I'm the first to say that. But the recent evidence shows that there's been a lot of losing around here with that franchise.
But, Mace, go back to the original premise, which is how do you become or how do you keep involved, engaged as a fan
right.
when you have no expectations? See, I got to look for storylines. For example, the Raiders. I'm now watching the Raiders to just see how far down it goes from here.
Mm.
Okay? Or...
Yeah, but you're watching that from a talk show host
correct.
Perspective.
Correct. No, I'm a story guy.
Right,
so that's,
but
that's
as a fan,
getting.
A fan
I'm
a, not, doesn't
I'm
care
a fan
about the
guy.
Stories. Yeah,
yeah, right. So that's just it. I'm going to get at that, which is I'm not typical hardcore one-team guy. I'm looking for a storyline. So for the Raiders, I've now got a storyline. For the Chargers, I have a storyline. In some ways, for the Rams, I guess I do have a storyline. You go from Super Bowl champions to last place in your division and not likely to make the playoffs. I mean, how much worse can it get? So...
I mean,
looking for a storyline here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, Cooper Kupp had that injury, and I've not seen any reporting on what Cooper Kupp's deal is, or you know,
it looked bad.
It looked bad to me, but I'm like, you know, the next meaningful game Cooper Kupp is going to play is next September. So
right. I wouldn't blame at all.
I would say, Coop, you're awesome. Take the year off.
Well,
by the way,
a lot of people look at their schedule,
and
they
by
go,
the way,
it's
he may
not
have
over.
No choice. He may have no choice.
I think if you're a fan of the Rams right now, the way you're describing this season, if you're going to pack it in for Cooper Kupp, if you're not going to rush Matthew Stafford to get back, you start looking at rookies or first-year guys on the roster.
Yeah, this is what I said, Kyron Williams.
Right. You start, and
yeah, he actually did okay when he got in.
Yeah, he did.
And hopefully you can feel – it's always tricky with a team like the Rams that is so built to win now because you're not conditioned to look ahead. You're conditioned – to look at what's just right in front of you. And it's been, you know, frankly, it's been a while since Rams fans have felt that much like looking ahead.
We don't know how to do that.
Well, because the front office had always been trading draft picks for ready-made guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like Aaron Donald, you know, when he first got drafted by the Rams, like he's one of the few guys in recent Rams history that has been like a look-ahead guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
look,
I would say this, Andy, that if I were Les Snead, sure as hell I'm not. I would look to trade anyone that's not named Kupp or Donald.
Yes.
And just start the rebuild.
Yeah, and by the way, rebuilds can happen. I mean, you get
quickly
offensive linemen
NFL.
Back yeah. next yeah. year. I mean, all it's not the end of the it's the end of the season. It's not the end of the world.
Well, but when you say rebuild, though, George, are you talking about long-term rebuild or just getting, say, reinforcements for next season with Matt Stafford?
No. This thing, like, I don't think that this team. I mean, reinforcements. I'd have to look at their cap situation, but I think that they mortgaged their future to win a Super Bowl, so it worked. So congratulations to them. They deserve the love. They still are the defending champions until someone else hoists a trophy. And no one will ever forget that they won the Super Bowl, and they did it in a way that was somewhat unprecedented in a lot of ways.
But they do have four offensive linemen on injured reserve right now.
I
including
get that,
three of the guys that were going to start. So it's not like it's a complete
But were they even
rebuild.
That good when they were healthy?
Yeah, Joe Noteboom, I think, is a totally solid left tackle.
No, Mace, he was not that good to start this season.
Well, he was only in three games.
Right, and then the offensive line has stunk since day one.
But yeah. you're never really going to know, because not only did you lose Whitworth to retirement, but the decimation by injury of this offensive line, you'll never really know what it might have become.
No.
But assume for one moment that, like what George is saying, that it wasn't going to be any good. When you say trade anybody named Don Aaron Donald or Cooper Kupp, that goes for Matthew Stafford too. You know, you got from him what you wanted, which was you got the Super Bowl. And this year he's been elbow injury
but
number
again,
one.
But again, you can't judge Matthew Stafford without saying, yeah, he's been sacked more than any quarterback in the league.
No, I get that. But he's not going to get younger and more
that's
mobile.
It.
But
you, and that's
you also,
it. That's it right
you
there.
Also have to judge him. If you're going to be looking to do a rebuild,
yeah.
you have to make a decision on Matt Stafford, because you can't
right.
rebuild with him on the roster.
The problem is this. They are committed to – Matthew Stafford cannot be traded in retrospect now that I think about it, because I'm looking at his cap number and the dead cap money. They can't get rid of him until after the 2025 season. So he's going to be on this team no matter what.
Let's look at this. He got a $63 million signing bonus.
I'm looking at it. Yeah.
He has a base salary of 1.5 this year, base salary of
right.
1.5
but
next
year. If you cut him if you cut him after this year, let's just say by accident or trade.
Well,
him
he's got $57 million fully guaranteed on March the 23rd.
Reading now per USA Today, it's at least $24 million through 2022 to 2025 in dead money.
I'm reading
every
it right here. Dead cap money after this year, $63 million. Dead cap money after next year, $49.5 million. Dead cap money after 2024, $36 million. Dead cap money after 2025, $24 million.
Yeah.
Potential out 2026.
Okay, so let's just take a quick time out here.
Okay, time out.
Thank you. So what you're getting at, though, is I'm staying on subject here.
Okay, good. Stick with it.
What you're getting at, George, is that they're now more locked into Matthew Stafford today.
Yes, than ever.
They were when they traded for him than they thought they were with Jared Goff at the time.
Correct.
Yeah. So therein lies the biggest problem you have, because if you think Matthew Stafford between the age of 34 and 37 is going to improve. I would argue that he could, but what I'm seeing from LeBron makes me think that he won't.
You threw LeBron in there.
Yeah, well,
he loves to throw in LeBron
older.
In these.
No, but I understand what Cap is actually getting at. I understand what Kaplan
Thank
means
you, Andy.
Because
Thank you, Andy.
You're talking about predicting how long a window stays open.
Right. Hold on. Mason, thank you for feeling exactly the same way I do every day.
Yeah, LeBron just came out of nowhere.
Well,
yeah,
it's just that he's gotten older, and I didn't think he was going to get older and get hurt and break down all the time.
You didn't?
Yeah, Cap
no.
didn't think that would happen, that he
no,
wasn't
going
to be a human
really?
Being.
You thought that he was some sort of superhuman
cyborg
character?
Precisely,
yeah.
correct. Superhuman is the word I use.
Yeah. I'm not ready to sail on Matthew Stafford.
I mean, you were last.
He's going to be third. I did have a bad month. Yeah, that November. but I saw him win the Super Bowl. He's only going to be 35 years old.
Yeah.
So
it
takes 35, 36, and 37. A lot of productive quarterbacks at those ages.
Are there a lot, though? I mean, we base this off of Tom Brady, and Tom Brady may be the outlier because of his kale pajamas.
Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, these guys are all.
Yeah, but Drew Brees was not that good late in his career. Like, he actually was propped up by a lot of really good weapons.
I think we've come to think of more guys older as better than they were.
Correct.
Because we see Tom Brady and we get blinded by that. Like, LeBron, in certain ways, becomes almost like a victim of his own baseline. Like, in some ways, you see LeBron is more superhuman than he actually is, just because he's still doing it.
Yeah. The last 3 years of Drew Brees, all under 4,000 yards. And in today's NFL, you should be able to throw 4,000 yards.
The question is, did they win?
They won because they had a great team around him.
Right. I mean, to me, that's...
But he was not the quarterback he was anymore those last three.
Yeah, let's pivot
to Cappy's point.
That's depressing. By the way, you know, the club that I go to at SoFi, excellent shrimp yesterday.
Really? You like the food there, huh?
I'm there. Well,
people complain about the food there. Yeah, I don't, but I hear it.
I get to go to a special place.
Oh, where the food you're so
is,
special.
Where the food is good.
Yeah.
I've not eaten outside the stadium. I don't know outside of that club what the food is like, but everybody seems to hate it.
The shrimp is grilled.
It's delicious on a taco with some jalapeno. It's really
Let's talk about
the cookies. Oh, and the cookies. The cookies were oatmeal cookies. They were like an inch thick, and the raisins were like big grapes in there. It was so
By
good.
The end of this season, these cookies are going to be like 10 inches thick. It's going to be lobster tacos.
So we were talking a little bit earlier. There was a study. A stupid one, nonetheless, they tested people to see if money can buy happiness.
Oh, well.
So
they do this. Let me hear the
okay,
test.
So here's the way the study works. A study published Monday, journal PNAS, looked at the effects of giving 200 people a one-time sum of $10,000. The money, which came from two anonymous blah, blah, blah. Participants who got the money were required to spend all of it within 3 months. They recorded how happy they felt on a monthly basis, as did a control group of 100 people that did not get any money. The researchers measured happiness by having people rate how satisfied they were with their lives on a scale of 1 to 7. As it turns out, the people that got the $10,000 happier than the people who were part of the control group who didn't get a damn dime. Yeah. But the question is raised, do you think money can buy happiness? Because I know a lot of miserable rich people.
Okay, here's what I would say. I think all of this, like anything in life, is based on degrees, right? Yeah. Of course, financial woes are arguably the largest cause of stress, anxiety, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Et cetera. So if you have a lot of money, then you have less of those potential anxieties of, oh my God, can I buy my kids food and clothes?
Put them through college.
Right,
all that stuff. Yeah.
Right? But as Biggie once said, more money, more problems. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. There's that too. The problems are also different in that regard. Albeit not the life-threatening stresses that people who don't have a lot of money have.
Right. Cappy, what about you?
I think you can buy happiness.
You do? Just outright?
Yeah, I think
purchase.
You can just buy it.
It's got a price tag.
Yeah. I think
you just hate King, everyone. That's why.
Yes, that could be true. But Mace, I'm with you. I know plenty of people who are wealthy who are miserable because they've made themselves miserable. And I also know plenty of other people that are really, really wealthy that just love life. They're like, I got the greatest life on the planet. I don't have to wake up in the morning. I don't have to worry about what job I'm going to. I can take my private jet wherever I want. I am living the life, baby. Money is the last thing on my mind. I got plenty of it, and I'm never going to run out of it. And gosh, if you're feeling like that, that's a happy guy right there.
Can be.
Yeah, I don't think money guarantees you happiness.
That's a good way to put it.
But it lays down a great foundation.
Yeah.
Like if you're seeking happiness, it's a lot easier to seek it from a place of having money than not having money.
You know, I got a delivery from, I guess, UPS or Amazon, I think.
Well, what was it? We'll tell you who delivered it.
I can't because it was a gift.
Oh.
Actually, you know what it was? It was from Etsy. Do you know Etsy?
My wife orders from Etsy constantly.
So it was probably UPS.
Okay. So, and I happened to be there when the driver came up and struck up a conversation, and he recognized the name and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, man, that guy works so hard. There are so many people working so hard, especially a lot of the drivers and delivery people and UPS and Amazon drivers and all that stuff. And I've said this before. It's amazing the number of times I'll go by a delivery truck, and I'll hear the station. Like in the afternoon, I heard somebody playing Shadano and Cappy.
Yeah.
A lot of people in that world. But yeah, so here we are. We all have, is it fair to say we all have enough money?
Oh, yeah. I would say that. And shout out,
Cappy
never feels like he has enough. He wants
Answer is
more.
No.
You always want more.
Mace, to your point, I agree. I hear we have a lot of really loyal listeners, yes, like, in that sense. And like, shout out to my UPS driver, Big Zo, who's out there always.
What's up, Big Zo? You know, shout out.
Yeah, man. But you're right. Like, I don't feel like I have those worries, right? Like, I'm saving for my kids for college, right? Like, I can pay my bills. But, you know, I don't know. I just look at it this way. If you would have told me 20 years ago that this would be my life, I would say, get the hell out of here. You're crazy. I wouldn't even believe it. So I kind of try to look at it through that prism as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember signing my first morning drive contract for $28,000.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And, yeah. My first one, like 30 something grand. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought, wow, I made it. Morning drive and $28,000.
But Cappy's at least honest. He's greedy as a mofo.
Yeah, greedy. It's not about greed. It's just, you know, when you've had a lot of things happen, you know, first of all, when you have four kids.
Yeah, that's true.
And then secondly, when you go through a divorce.
Yeah.
When you have a business blow up on you. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened. You know, it's just the way it goes, right? I mean, you go year after year after year, things happen. Some years are good, some years are bad. And I had a few things happen kind of all at the exact same time. So I don't know about everybody else, but have you ever had to go through a rebuild? I'm talking like an adult rebuild.
Absolutely.
An adult rebuild.
Yep.
Yeah. Like a grown adult start from ground zero, all over again, rebuild.
Yeah.
Like there's no more bar mitzvah money left, you know, to buy something.
Right.
You know, when I'm fresh out of college that my mother's been saving for all these years.
You know what you need? You need
Scott,
a
Scott, you got to keep your bar mitzvah money.
Yeah.
You need
a Kickstarter campaign, Cappy.
Do I?
A GoFundMe?
GoFundMe.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
For restarting.
Who's going to do that for me?
So, you know, somebody in the circle of trust probably will. All right, that's it. That's it for us. We're back tomorrow at 1. Actually, big
news. Wow, this went fast.
Ireland is back tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, he's coming back.
Is he feeling okay? Are you texting him enough?
Texting him every single day a normal person would do with their friends.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so
as am I.
Good.
I've not texted once.
You should probably check in.
I mean, I don't know. He didn't text me to let me know he had COVID, so should I?
For appearance sake. He tweeted it. That's true.
He tweeted it?
Yeah, he tweeted it.
He did tweet it.
He's in health and safety
protocols. He's not on my, like, he's not like a Ramona who's on, like, my alerts.
Right. Have you muted Ireland?
You guys are in the league.
Yeah.
No, but I only have, like I have alerts for, like, newsbreakers, you know? So, you know, Ramona's in that category.
No Ireland.
Wow.
Ireland's not a newsbreaker.
Wow.
That's it for us. We're back tomorrow at 1 with John Ireland. In the meantime, I want to let you know that Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all year long. Coming up next for you, Shedano and Cappy, lots of stupidity right here, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, 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 come on.
Bam,
bada boom, boom, ding, da da ding, da,
beep, boom, bada bim, bum,
boom, bada bop, do, da da ding. I thought we were going to alternate there. I just had a feeling.
I don't know. I thought you were going to go too. That's why I was kind of.
I just had this feeling we were going to alternate back and forth.
You go again, and then I go.
You have been on a serious grind, dude. Thursday, we left Bastards Canteen.
Yep.
You took off right away because you said you had a 5:30 a.m. flight, right?
Yep.
Me, I wound up staying there with everybody that wanted to stay. We were pouring beers and drinking beers and cheers in and having a great time until I finally had to peace out of there. So from where I saw you last to today, tell me where you've been because you've been working it, man.
So I went across the country to do a college football game, an HBCU championship game, which was fun.
Who was playing?
It was Benedict and Tuskegee. Tuskegee is the most winningest HBCU.
Okay.
And they lost in this particular game.
Tuskegee lost.
They did. They are the second most wins in Division II history, regardless of what classification, HBCU or not. They're a very storied college football team.
Division II college football, huh?
What's that?
Division II college football?
Division II championship.
How'd you like it?
It was fun. It reminded me of kind of the old days when I was doing Sun Belt football back in the day.
Isn't it great to see kids and coaches and fans not at the USC, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, you know, that sort of big time level?
It was cool. Whole different fun for sure. Then I immediately drove back to Charlotte to fly back to do this Rams game. The Rams game yesterday, I was super pumped to do it with Kirk. Kirk was fantastic. Not that I was surprised by any stretch of the imagination, because he's always fantastic. But he and I obviously have a long history together, so it was just like, you know, we'd never worked together, but it sounded like we'd worked together forever, it felt like. Mm-hmm. And because we kind of have in a different way. But it was fun. And then after that first drive for each team, it was like I was in a library doing a game for a while. It was just so quiet.
Well, how many people would you estimate were there? I mean, was it really a crowded, packed house yesterday?
It wasn't sold out. I mean, in regards to his fannies in the seats, it might have been sold out, but there was not a full crowd. No.
Tough though, the energy, like when you're going to a game like that, and at the beginning of the season you're putting those two teams together and you're going, okay, this is a big game.
Yeah.
Right? And then by the time you get to the game, both starting quarterbacks are out.
How do you think I felt calling
it? Dude, I can only imagine. Did you use what we talked about last week where it was like, hey, the last time Wolford started was against these same Arizona Cardinals in this same state? Did you use all that stuff?
I did. And Kirk obviously helped along with that because he was very familiar with that too. So, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, Cappy, didn't you listen to it?
I did not. No, I did not.
No, he did not.
Nope, I did not.
I listened to a little.
I know when Cappy's listening because he'll text during.
Yeah, right. That's true.
No, yesterday I had three games going at the same time. I had the Green Bay-Dallas game on one TV. I had the Rams-Cardinals on the middle TV. And then I had the Raiders over here against the Colts on the third TV.
Oh, my God. What a disaster, the Raiders. Yep. We'll get to them in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching. I didn't listen. Sorry, George.
I listened for a little bit, and I think you sounded great.
Well, thank you.
I did wish you a good broadcast earlier in the day on some social media platform. I don't remember which one it was.
Instagram. Yes, you did.
Have a great call, pal. I'll be over here drinking beers and watching games.
You did. So Rachel let you stay late at Bastards Cantina and let you watch football this weekend. Wow.
Yeah, it was good. It was one of those weekends where I was standing at this bar and all three games were on that I wanted to watch, but she had some friends that were there, so they were over doing their own thing. I was like, this is great. She's fine. She's happy. She got friends, and I got every game I want to see all simultaneously. So, yes, I was allowed this weekend, George, to watch games.
Wait, what about the time that you missed the ending of the Bills-Vikings game because you said you went for a run?
Yeah, you went for a run. Right. I saw that on the text chat.
Did she make you go for a run? Was she
what the hell's wrong with you?
Scott, you had too many carbs today. Wait, you better go for a run.
Who leaves during the witching hour? What's wrong with you?
Guys, I'll tell you right now. I desperately wanted to try to get back out and do some running. I'm paying for it substantially today.
But why didn't you go before the games started?
Well, okay. See, now this is a very good question by you, George Sedano. Yeah. Very, very good question.
I always love how you stall. That's like one of your best stall tactics.
No stall. I'm going to tell you what happened. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I wanted to go for the run at 8:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Rachel's like, no, not at 8:30 in the morning.
Here we go.
She's like, no, we don't get to sleep in the same bed together, but maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
We wake up on Sunday morning. We have coffee together. We go out for our walk. We get done with our walk. We go for breakfast. We have mimosas. She's like, and then I go for a nap. When I go for a nap, that's when you go for a run.
Wow. Hold on. Where's that whip sound that Laura likes to use? Oh, my God. Are you serious? That's how it went down?
Okay, sort of, kind of. My buddy who I was supposed to run with at 8:30 in the morning, he had something he had to do with his kid, and he had to postpone it until later in the day. And I desperately wanted to go for this run. So, yes, it's true. Witching hour. I took off. I missed what happened during that Buffalo-Minnesota game, only to come back and rewind it all, to watch it all, to see what was probably the greatest game of this season so far, and maybe one of the best regular season, most bizarre regular season games you'll ever see. And the way that thing ended with Josh Allen fumbling and Minnesota scoring when they couldn't score on fourth and goal. And then the way Buffalo winds up driving down the field to tie the game. It was incredible. Great game. But I did go for a run. And I am hurting bad.
Why are you hurting?
Oh, dude. I haven't run in so long.
Oh.
And I am super sore.
Yeah.
And the longer I sit, Lindsay, every time I stand up, my knees make these crackling sounds.
Ew. That's not good.
It's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, mine's done that for years. It's
Have you ever tried standing while you're working?
I have, and I do like to stand while we are on the air. But I haven't been recently.
You haven't? You don't have one of those standing desks like Lindsay had at the remote?
Listen, you guys can make fun of me for that, but you know what?
I don't make fun of you.
No, I have one of those.
From like slouching over with my laptop. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to try and do it right now.
It helps. It helps a lot.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being time to pack it in, where are the Rams right now?
They're at a 9.
Yeah.
They're not completely at pack it in mode, because if you're trying to be an optimist, you would look at the schedule and you would say there are winnable games on the horizon and they're not mathematically eliminated. You would also say, I think the Niners are good, but their record isn't great so far.
Yeah, but they're way better than the Rams.
Right. And I don't necessarily know for sure if I buy Seattle yet. So,
but here's what I would say about Seattle. Well, I don't buy them as like a real contender out of the NFC. Like, I still think they can make the playoffs, and they got a good running game, and that's what translates here now late in the season.
Well, I'm trying to, like I said, I'm trying to come to you from the optimistic standpoint.
Yeah, which I don't have a lot of optimism.
Well, nor do I. That's why I'm at a 9 with the Rams. I'm not at a complete 10 flatline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm at a 9 where if you look at this schedule, you go, they can beat the Saints. Well, why? Why do you think they can beat the Saints in New Orleans? Okay, fine. Let's say they do. Then they go to Kansas City. They got no chance.
No.
Then they come home and they've got Seattle, and then they've got the Raiders at home. So, you know, could you say 3 of the next 4 are potentially winnable? Sure, you could say that.
But do you believe it?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither.
Not really.
That's just the reality of it. Hey, coming up next, could the Lakers be? We'll do that same exercise of the Lakers. 1 to 10, 10 being pack it in. I know it's a much longer season at this point for the Lakers. But there is a victory yesterday, and I heard Mason say it's a good thing. And yes, on the surface, it's good. But I'm still really annoyed about one thing in particular, despite yesterday's performance. You want to know what that is?
I do.
Okay, well, I will tell you in just a few moments. Plus, don't forget, Million Dollar Monday today, 710 ESPN is the only station giving you a chance to win $1 million. It's not a national contest. When you hear the cue to call, be caller 7, win 2 tickets to Rams Seahawks that Cappy just mentioned a second ago on December 4th, and a shot at $1 million. If you win those tickets and you're the caller number 7 person, you basically just give us your Super Bowl prediction, the two teams and the score for each team. If you nail it, Cappy's going to go knock on your door and give you $1 million. So listen every day for your chance to win on Million Dollar Mondays. Coming up, we'll get into the Lakers and why I'm still annoyed at them next. Ba-ka-bum-bum, ba-ka-bum-bum. Ow! Chicka-bum-bum-bum-pow. Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Cappy? Cappy, Annie, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Are you okay, Cappy? So, Cappy?
Yo, I'm standing right now. Lindsay got me inspired. I'm standing up.
Cappy, are you okay? Cappy, are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
Cappy, are you okay?
I told you I'm not okay. I'm sore.
Yeah, I know. Because you're old.
Well,
I mean, listen, it happens to all of us. I'm old. And you're older than me.
I know. I'm going to get myself back into shape, though. Once I got the bug for running, now I'm back. Just like that.
It is November 14th. Yeah. I remember hearing back on like August 14th that you were going to get in shape.
Haven't done that yet. Have not done that.
Yeah. The holidays are coming. How far are we? Are we 10 days away from Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's next Thursday.
Yeah.
Bad time to start, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I know, but it was so good. I know. And then Lindsay was giving me a hard time yesterday. She's like, you left
giving you a hard time
game?
About what?
She's like, you left this game for a run? I'm like, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
hey,
well, Chris
I
was giving
I turned it off
too.
For a minute because I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was over because the Bills Twitter account tweeted like whatever it was, like a game over, Bills defensive stop. So I was like, okay, I'm going to turn it off. Either run the clock off. Nope. That won't happen.
No, that is not what happened. Actually, it was a crazy day yesterday around the NFL. I know we started talking about the Rams. And George, I know you want to get into the Lakers, and I do too. But just the whole day yesterday, the way that Green Bay came back against Dallas, and now they're still alive. Tampa Bay, second straight win. People now think they're alive. Buffalo losing to Minnesota. Everybody thinks Minnesota's good now. Maybe questioning a little bit about Buffalo after back-to-back losses to the Jets and the Vikings. The Raiders getting beat yesterday by Jeff Saturday, first time. I could keep going, but it was a crazy day yesterday.
It was an insane day, which we'll get to in just a moment. We will absolutely get to all of this because I feel like even beyond just the local teams or whatever, or the teams that we deem local, I feel like there's a lot of stuff to get into. But let me get into the Lakers. So Anthony Davis yesterday, incredible. Yes, we can agree?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, he had, 37 and like 37. 18 or something like that?
And you know the best number on his entire stat line?
What's that?
Zero. You know what that stands for?
Three-pointers.
0 3-point shots attempted, 0 3-point shots made. Because that's not what he should be doing, and yeah. He's finally starting to get it, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. But here's what I'm saying. If you look at his career with the Lakers, it's been 3 years now, right? This is year four, I guess. And he has four games of at least 35 and 15, okay? Now, Shaquille O'Neal played with the Lakers for 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 1, 2, 3, and then he left in the 04, 05 season. So that's 9 years. Shaq had 26 of those games as a Laker, okay? And granted, again, he was here three times as much or as long as Anthony Davis has been to this point. But Anthony Davis is capable of putting up 35 and 15 almost on a regular basis, I feel like. Do you see what Joel Embiid has done the last two games, Cappy?
You put up, how many was it last night? Was it 56, maybe?
59, I believe.
59, yeah.
59. And you know what he's put up in 24 hours?
Tell me.
101 points. He had 42 the night. 59 and 52 and 42. Okay. Not to mention,
because I was trying to do the math real quick. When you said 101, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Not to mention, he had whatever it was, a bunch of rebounds, double digit rebounds. He had 7-8 assists in each game, and he also had like 7 blocks or whatever last night too. So here's the thing: Anthony Davis is capable of doing what Shaq has done in what I said there, the 35 and 15 games. He's capable of doing what Joel Embiid does, but we don't see it regularly enough. And that drives me up the wall. I want to see Anthony Davis do this all the time. And by the way, three of the four times he's done it, three of them have been with LeBron on the floor. So this notion that despite their numbers not being great together, or their plus minus not being great together last year in a limited sample size and this year in a limited sample size, he's clearly capable of doing it with LeBron on the floor. So why don't we see more of this? This is what I need to see out of Anthony Davis. And if you're a Lakers fan, you should be begging him, yo, bro, go do this. Just dominate, man. That's what you can do.
I'm going to answer your question. I think there's a legitimate answer to your question, believe it or not.
Okay.
Why do we not see this more frequently was the question. And the answer is because he hasn't played enough over the course of the previous seasons to put up these kinds of performances consistently. The best part of what's happening with Anthony Davis right now is whether his back is hurting or anything else is bothering him, he's showing up, he's putting on his uniform, and he's playing every night, and he knows that, hey, LeBron's not going to be available. I have to be the guy that carries it. We talked a lot about this last week. Remember, does he have the personality for it? I've been thinking a lot about this. Maybe one of the reasons we don't see Anthony Davis really doing what Darvin Ham wants, demand the ball. Maybe part of the reason we don't see that is not just pure personality. Maybe he feels like in some way, even if it's subconscious, like, I haven't been out here for these last couple of years to put up these kinds of dominant performances to demand the ball. Well, guess what, big man? You're out there every night. It's your team right now. Take the ball. You forget how good he was because we haven't seen him play consistently in so long.
Now, when you say you think of this, you've been thinking of this often. Like, how often are we talking about?
Been putting some hardcore thought into this, George, and I'm going to tell you why. Because last week we had a debate about Anthony Davis's personality. And yeah. I said that LeBron is such an overbearing
personality or just figure.
Well, he's
figure.
He's exact yeah. presence. Yeah. LeBron James is such an overbearing presence
yeah.
that maybe even when he's saying to you publicly, you be the number one offensive option, it might just be hard for somebody to go, okay, whatever you say, LeBron. So, I've said that LeBron is this overbearing presence, and last night there was no LeBron playing, and Anthony Davis, give me the ball. bring it right here. And then when you have a dominating lead, you're like, okay, I'm done for the night. I'm good. So I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I know everybody, you know, disagreed and said, no, it's not LeBron's fault. I'm not saying it's LeBron's fault. I'm saying that he's such an overbearing presence that a guy like Anthony Davis may not take the ball when we all want him to take the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but bro, it's time. Like, everybody's telling you it's time. By the way, you know who was happy about that win yesterday and that Anthony Davis was dominant the way he was?
Tell me.
Russ.
Okay. Tell me why?
I mean, he was not very good yesterday.
No, he wasn't great. That's for sure.
Why is it that like they all can't be good at the same time? You know, it's always like one guy is really, really good and either Russ struggles or LeBron struggles or AD struggles. Like, they can't all be good at the same time. Why is that?
It is hard, I would say. Like, I mean, I'd have to look back. It's only 13 games, but I'd have to look to see if there's a game where all three of them have played really well. But I don't know if there's one of those, you know?
Well, it was a great game for Anthony Davis. I mean, to be 15 for 25 from the field, the way he was able to rebound, he was perfect on free throws. He didn't waste everybody's time, including his own, by shooting three-point shots.
Yeah.
So it was a great performance.
You know who I thought played good minutes and you're going to think I'm crazy?
Not if you tell me Lonnie Walker.
No, I mean, that's obvious. He's playing very well.
Okay, good.
Max Christie.
Lonnie Walker. Max Christie, huh?
The rookie. Mm-hmm. He played 21 minutes, only took one shot, but he got 9 rebounds. And he was playing defense.
That's understanding your role, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, hey, I'm just going to do whatever it takes to get on the floor.
Matt Ryan should be trying to figure out how he can get on the floor. 6 minutes yesterday. Coach, he's kind of a
one-trick pony, bro.
Come on, let me take some shots here.
Yeah, he's only like a one-trick pony, though.
It's all right. So let me take a couple shots, Coach.
Yeah, that would be you, though. If you were Matt Ryan, you would be like, how would you go? Would you like move along the bench as guys are subbing in and out? Would you move seats to get like closer to Darvin? Like, how would you handle it?
I'd sit right next to him.
Yeah.
Freaking, what,
wait, but what if like the assistant coaches, you just would sit in one of their seats?
Yeah, like when everybody stood up, you know, like when a timeout or whatever, everybody goes to sit back down. It's like musical chairs. I hustle and I sit right next to the head coach.
Yeah. You'd be like, hey, coach, I'm here if you're ready.
Coach, if you need me. You want to bounce anything off of me?
Lindsay, could you imagine? That's totally Cappy's move if he was Matt Ryan.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Laura, now, Cappy would be a viral sensation if he did that, if he was Matt Ryan and did that in the game and just keep moving chairs.
Cappy, I was going to say no, but you know what? Yeah, he was.
You would take it. You'd be the viral sensation. You've hit the one shot.
He loves it.
Oh, yeah.
We know you would embrace it.
You'd be like, here you go, sir. Right. Here's your chair, sir.
Yeah. And then what happens if like LeBron or AD are like, hey, Matt, I got to sit there.
Oh, you guys need to sit here? Oh, okay, that's cool. Sorry, my B. Yeah. Here, you sit right here, King.
Anything for the king.
Anything. If the king needs that, hey, King, you sit right here.
Yeah.
Okay. But the king don't want to sit down because the king got to yell at referees. The king was coaching yesterday.
Yeah, I loved it.
Right. The king got to coach. At one point, it's like, I wish Darvin Ham would say to LeBron, hey, LeBron, I got this. He's not doing that. I got that. I'm the head coach.
Do you want to role play real quick before we go to break?
Go ahead. You want to be LeBron? I'll be LeBron.
You can be Darvin here.
I like always being LeBron. All right, go ahead. You be LeBron. All right, here's me.
You like it because you don't get to be LeBron that often.
All right. I'll be Darvin Ham. You ready?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, LeBron.
What's up, coach?
Yeah, I love the hat, dude. You look so cool the way you're rocking it backwards like that. And that coat you're wearing. What is that? That is suede or something, man. That is dope AF.
Yeah.
Hey,
Louis Vuitton.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, would you mind like sitting down over there and cheering for your teammates? Because I'm over here yelling at the referees and dealing with stuff at the scorer's table because I'm the coach. You're not the coach because you're not playing. I'm the coach. Can you sit down, please?
I'm excited. I'm hyped up. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm being the leader I need to be and keep my teammates involved and understand that I'm there for them. I'm just getting hyped, man, watching the game. That's it. There's no malice intended here.
And Mr. James, I want you to be hyped. I want you to be excited. I want you to remain a leader. But when you walk past me on the bench and you're going to communicate with the officials rather than me, you're sort of kind of taking my thing, you know?
No, but, you know, when I'm on the floor, these officials know I'm going to be talking to them anyway. So, you know, what's the difference between me talking to them when I'm on the bench? You know, I'm just trying to help you out.
No, that's good. Just a thought here would be that you don't have to complain about being fouled on every play.
Well, it actually benefits you if I complain.
Like, maybe seven out of 10 plays you might want
to
complain.
I mean, who are you coaching for? Are you coaching for the other team or are you coaching for us?
Well, no, but I mean, it's enough already. You know what I mean? Like, get your head in the game. Let's go. Like, we don't need to be
yelling at referees
all the time.
Are you saying my head is not in the game?
Kind of. That's what I'm saying right now. Yeah.
You're
going to fire me?
You need to be working at worried about other stuff.
Are you going
to
fire me, LeBron?
I'm not going to fire anyone. That's not my decision.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're coaching.
So, yeah.
So well, nice jacket just, LeBron was wearing.
I'm hyping my teammates. No, you know what? We're cool, man. You want the jacket, you can have it. All right,
that was a nice coat.
He'd be like, I can't ever be photographed in this again.
That would be what you would do. I have a friend who one time was like him and someone in the business. I'm not going to say who it was.
I'll just tell you the scenario.
There were two people there, and one of them, they were interviewing Ludacris at like a red carpet.
What's up, Luda?
Of course, that's what you would say. And the one guy's asking him like cool, ludicrous questions about his career, blah, blah, blah. And then the other guy just literally stares at his watch and it's like iced up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, man, that's a nice watch, man. He's like, oh, man, thank you. And he's like, how much does that cost? And the host was like, did you just ask him how much his watch costs?
Yeah, because we want to know. Because like, if it's real, you know, it could be like
thousands of dollars.
You know, and if it's not, because he likes costume jewelry.
You are the same person. You would ask him about his watch.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, you'd have to understand, George. I wouldn't know anything to ask Ludacris about Ludacris. I'd only know about what I'm looking at. You know what I'm saying?
You could do prep.
I mean, I could.
I'm not saying you could. I'm saying that person could have, too.
Well, he could have. I mean, if he knew
they
known,
were, they knew they were interviewing Ludacris, so
they would have known Ludacris was coming by. That's why I'm not.
See, I feel like if you knew, you'd at least do a little bit of reading, maybe
a little bit, a little bit.
Or at least ask Lindsay and Laura to help.
Right, I have my phone with me. Right, yeah. And ask somebody. Yo, you guys know who Ludacris is? He's coming. Give me something.
Yeah,
give me something other than his watch.
You know, I'd have like a whole page printed out for you.
Right,
it'd be so good.
I mean, other than being a great rapper, he's also been in Fast and the Furious. He's also been on Law and Order.
And he's an actor.
Yeah,
just saying.
So, yeah, shout out to Luda. Slowly,
you
die so much on you.
You know, George, with you not being here on Wednesday, I think we're going to have Clinton Yates in on Wednesday. There'll be plenty of this song airing on Wednesday as we'll be talking about Julian the Consigliere. Come on, you got to hit that high note, dude. You got to hit that high note.
No, never.
Not bad.
I need your love. It's a great song.
God, it is a great song. I'm just not feeling the vibe right now.
Me. Great song.
Great song. Not vibing with it at this moment, though.
Why that? I don't know.
Por qué?
I don't know. I think I got a lot of football on the brain, a lot of basketball on the brain. Got a lot of other stuff that's happening. I don't know. Something's not vibing with me, and I love that song.
So you need like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act type of music.
Oh, okay. All right. Sister Act.
Like, ooh, don't Sister they sing Act Shout in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more energetic. Yeah.
Okay.
But I like the song. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, it didn't sound like you liked
it. No, I just didn't like it right now.
Yeah. You know what is also something people don't like around here?
Tell me.
The Raiders getting embarrassed by the Colts and Jeff Saturday in his first ever game, having never coached college or pro ever before in his life.
Dude, when your quarterback goes to the post-game press conference.
And basically calls people out.
And is crying.
We have that. You want me to play it?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear this. Yeah. We got to hear this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Josh. I love the car. I love our coaches. They've had nothing but success, you know. Way more success than I've ever had, you know. And, you know, I'm sorry.
Derek, you know, continue.
To finish that, sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice. What we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off.
It's more extra than Cappy.
Knowing what some guys are doing. Like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like, just so we could be there for each other. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off.
Mm.
If I'm being honest.
I loved it.
You did?
Yep.
What did you love about it?
Well, look, to me, I've always said I really appreciate Derek Carr and what he means to the Raiders organization, and really bigger than that, to the Raider Nation. He cares. This guy puts in his work, and he freaking cares. And the fact that we suck so freaking bad, that's the result of all of this effort. We suck. So he cares. I love that about Derek Carr. The only problem for him is that he's part of the problem. He's part of the reason as to why they're no good.
I think he's probably the most constant reason as to why they're not that good.
I mean, did you hear the one thing he said? You always talk about passive aggressive.
By the way, shouldn't you keep that stuff in-house, though? I mean, I like it as a talk show host, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that there are players in his locker room not thrilled with him today.
What part of the part maybe. Where he talks about like the stuff they put in their bodies to let them sleep at night? That part?
I mean, that stuff is accurate. But
I think it's the other part. I think it's the part where I wish everybody did it the way we did.
Not everybody's on the same page to do it or that makes the sacrifices, whatever he was alluding to in there. Yeah.
Well, maybe he's right. Maybe he's not right. The one thing I heard out of that whole thing was this. Hey, I love Josh McDaniels. And by the way, have you ever noticed that Derek loves every coach? Every single coach he talked about. I love Rich Bisaccia. He's awesome. I love John Gruden. He's great. Hey, Jack Del Rio, man, that guy is awesome. Tony Sperano, I love that guy. Dennis Allen, I love that man. He loves his coaches. He did have that one little thing, though, he said. He goes, Josh has had way more success than I've certainly had. It almost sounded to me like he was kind of taking a shot, like, you had all that success working for Belichick. You had all that success when you had Tom Brady. And you're bringing all of that here like you're trying to recreate it. And we don't have what you guys had. And by the way, we also don't really like you guys talking to us like we're a bunch of robots. Like, it's just going to work the Belichick way. I feel like he was taking a shot at Josh McDaniels in some ways.
Well, he said he loved his coach. I feel like he was taking a shot at his teammates in a lot of ways there.
Well, again, here's the problem for Derek Carr. He is part of said problem. He's just an average, middle-of-the-road NFL starting quarterback. By the way, he's going to get done with his career, and he's not going to go to Canton, Ohio, but he's going to have a lot of money, and he's going to have a lot to be proud of. To have had a long NFL playing career, you got a lot to be proud of. Just
yeah,
that
listen,
he's just not that good.
I'm with you. He's a great leader, except, well, maybe there. I mean, he certainly showed a lot of leadership qualities last year, as we talked about at nauseam. But he's just a good to pretty good quarterback, right? Like, and you have to be a great quarterback in order to succeed more times than not to lead your team to the promised land, to the championship, all that stuff. So I think that they need to move on from him, as we've discussed here numerous times. But the Josh McDaniels thing, here's the thing. They're not firing Josh McDaniels. They're still paying Gruden, and they're in a grievance right now with Gruden about how much they have to pay him at this point. They're not going to fire him. And I believe they're still paying the previous coach, if I recall correctly, as well. For an organization that doesn't have a ton of money when it comes to their owner, I would say that if I had to guess, they're not going to be willing to... check that. They're not paying someone before Gruden. They're paying Gruden. If they fire McDaniels, they'd have to pay him out after 1 year, and then have to hire a new coach. So it means they'd be paying three coaches, which they're not going to do.
No, and here's the other part of this. And Raider fans, look, it's not about piling on today. It's just about what is reality. Reality is your quarterback is hysterical crying at a post-game press conference, and whether you think that's funny or you think that that shows that he cares, whatever your perspective on it, it doesn't really matter. It's just the fact of the matter is there he is crying. Okay? And on the other side, there's another press conference happening.
By the way, we made fun of T.O. forever. There's memes about him still to this day.
That's my quarterback.
Tony Romo. Yeah.
That's my quarterback.
Wait, I have two questions, though.
Yeah.
So, first of all, do you guys find him to be genuine? And second of all, as somebody in the community pointed out, since when does he have a Southern accent?
Dude, he always has had this sound like he's from Texas. And he's from Fresno.
And he's from Fresno.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like it's like way more twangy than normal.
It's just, it's always been his sound.
I remember interviewing him coming out of the draft. He came to Bristol and I talked to him on our radio show I was doing back then. And I don't remember that. I don't remember that being the tone of his voice. We make fun of, what's his name, Brian Kelly for doing that stuff. Although I don't know how much they're making fun of Brian Kelly right now. Yeah. But yeah, it does seem twangy. I'm with you. No, Raider fan, do me a favor. If you're a Raider fan, can we find older Derek Carr clips?
Yeah, I'll find.
He's got this country boy can survive sound to him. But just the bigger part of the story is this, though. Carr is crying. Yeah. McDaniels, everybody's criticizing McDaniels, and therefore everybody's criticizing Mark Davis, who, by the way, is starting to prove to be kind of a meddling owner like his father was, because he had to go get Gruden. Then the Gruden thing blew up. Then Bisaccia takes over, and he wasn't sexy enough, so they got rid of Bisaccia to go now out and get Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
So the story, George, McDaniels, should he be fired? Carr, is it over? And then the next part of it is, the guy on the other side who won was working at ESPN last Sunday.
Yeah.
And so you talk about an embarrassing loss, to the guy who's never coached. I don't know if you happened to see yesterday Bill Cowher on the CBS pregame show.
What did he call it? He
called it a travesty. Called it an embarrassment to the coaching profession.
I'm going to steal this from my guy Frank Isola today on Around the Horn, who I was doing the show with. You know what? Last time I checked, was Bill Cowher some sort of PA in like Davenport, Iowa, that all of a sudden that, you know, he should just be granted a TV job? He got a TV job with zero experience.
Well, don't you see that for everybody that says it's a travesty that Jeff Saturday was brought from TV to coaching, I say this opens up a whole new realm for NFL owners to consider other people as coaches. If you want to pull somebody like me off the radio to go be the coach of the Chargers, I could do that. That kid who's the coach of the Chargers had 1 year as the defensive coordinator of the Rams, and he had all that talent, and so he had all those statistics to say he was great. George, I really believe I could do a better job coaching the Chargers right now than the coach they got. No, it's true. Jeff Saturday today is a better coach than Josh McDaniels, and he's only coached one game in his life. This opens up a whole new world for guys like us, George.
Yeah, I mean, stop. By the way, he did live in Texas, Derek Carr, when his brother went to Houston.
I guess it's where he picked that up.
So for what,
And he was
years?
From Bakersfield originally, which is a rural area here.
Yeah, but they don't speak
California
with a twang like that.
No. But he did go to school in Texas for a little while.
Okay.
But I don't remember him sounding like that earlier in his career, is my point.
I got a clip we could play when we get back.
Okay.
One clip?
This is from when he signed his extension, so like 5 years ago.
Okay, so not that far.
Yeah.
Right. So,
maybe it's a Vegas
thing.
People
in the circle of trust are like, well, he did live in Texas for a couple of years. But a couple of years? I mean, back in the early, that was 15, 16, 17 years ago. He hasn't lived in Texas since then.
You think people y'all think people in Vegas talk like that? Is that the way it goes?
There are some. Not a ton, but there are some. Yeah.
Really? There's some cowboys up there, huh?
Yeah. And some cowboys in Bakersfield. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, Lindsay's got the clip. We'll have that on the other side. Plus, you know what? Bergman made me get rid of a segment we used to do before you, Cappy, called Monday Afternoon Quarterback with the big games that aren't the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers.
Yeah.
We're going to do that next.
Good.
Screw you, Bergman. We're doing it. We're back.